before you today. We ask that you would guide our hearts, guide our thoughts. Let us dwell on you for these next moments of time. May your Spirit speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to look at today 1 Corinthians, the epistle lesson. If you want to pull that out or take a look at it, there are Bibles in the pews. If you want to pull it up on your phone, go for it. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through 31. And those of you that are joining on Zoom or on Facebook Live, you've got a moment to be able to pull out a Bible or to Google it up on another device so that you can follow along as well. There's some really important things in this passage for us as individuals and more importantly for us as a corporate body to recognize and to align ourselves with as we seek to move forward as a church. So I want to start right in at verse 12. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all are members of the body, though many are one body, so it is with Christ. So the very first thing this passage is asking us to focus on, surprise, is Christ. Okay? We get that a lot as Christians. Focusing on Christ and his example, right? This passage is about the church, but it's also not just about the church. It's about Christ. It's about himself. And then, you know, Paul goes on and he takes this image of a physical body made up of different parts, yet it is one body, and says, so it is with Christ. And we continue reading, for in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. So just in the first little bit there, we can see that there's going to be at least three areas of focus for us as we study this passage. The first area is, of course, Jesus Christ. The other two centers of attention for us are the Holy Spirit and ourselves. So as we walk through this, bear in mind Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and ourselves, and what this passage has to say about all three. We throw this word around, you know, the body of Christ, the church is the body of Christ. We think about this passage, you know, all the different functioning parts and you know, there's the eye, there's all the jokes about, gee, I'm glad I'm not the dirty toenail, you know, that kind of thing with the body of Christ. But we are the body of Christ. Jesus is the one whose body we are. When Jesus was walking the earth, right, it was for about 33 years. Very short period of time when he was physically walking the earth. The most amazing thing that, you know, it's one of those huge things that our faith hangs on, that God comes in the flesh, God incarnate, fully man, walks among us, 33 years. It's a brief time. We read about it every single week in the Creed, okay? For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven by the power of the Holy Spirit. He became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. Huge central core tenet of our faith as Christians. So he comes down for us and for our salvation. But he's only here for a short time. And as you know, he's crucified. He is risen. And then at his ascension, he heads off, right? His physical bodily presence leaves earth. It is now, his resurrected body is at the right hand of God the Father interceding for you right now. It didn't just float off into spirit land, right? He's God, fully God, fully man, glorified body, the one that passed through the walls and scared the disciples, you know. That's the resurrected body that he has. And he said to his disciples, "It is better that I go than that I stay." Right? It is better that I go, because if I go, I'm going to send the Comforter. So now imagine if you were there, if I was there, if we were all gathered there, and Jesus was saying that to us, we would have been like, "Time out! What are you saying? We just watched your ministry develop. We watched you be betrayed. You were killed. You rose from the grave. We finally know who you are and what you're about, and now you're leaving? We have so much more to learn from you. So much more you can teach us. Don't go." And if we could have held him down to earth, we probably would have tried. But Jesus says, "No, it is actually to your advantage that I go. Because I'm sending the Comforter. And that we know is the Holy Spirit." And we read in the Creed, "Who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who is spoken through the prophets," right? And so, Jesus' physical presence disappears from the earth. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit, but Paul is telling us in this passage in 1 Corinthians that the whole body of the church is the manifestation of Jesus Christ here on the earth till he comes again. What? Do people form their view of Jesus Christ by what we say? People form their opinion about whether or not they would like to be a Christian by what we do? They are always watching our words and our actions, and they take note of stuff, believe it or not. So the passage continues, "By one Spirit we are baptized into one body and made to drink of one Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who brings us into the body of Christ." Right? This is an important thing for us to pay attention to. It's an important thing for churches in general to take note of. That, you know, we talk about joining a church. You know, and here at Brownsville Community Church, we would like you to have worshiped with us for a while so that you know what this local expression of faith is about before you join. In many churches, joining allows people to have a voice to be able to vote or to serve as a chair of a committee and that kind of thing. And these are sort of organizational structures that differ from church to church, from denomination to denomination, and there's good aspects of it, and there's challenging aspects of it. But as far as joining the church, it is by the Holy Spirit that we are joined to the church. It is not by signing your name on the dotted line and agreeing to a set of bylaws that you join the church. That's joining a club, in many respects. Okay, I mean, I'm kind of treating it in a trite fashion to illuminate something here. So when we think about joining a church, it is not we who are joining a church. It is we who are being joined to the church by the Holy Spirit. Because we are made to drink of one Spirit, one body. This is different than we often think about it. A lot of times churches have a view of joining like you're joining an organization. You know, you're joining the local club. You know, here in town we have the Coon Club, the local hunting club. And you join in a certain way. You have to be invited by a member to be able to join. And I think that's still the case. And they're a good club. They do good things, you know. But when we join the church, we do not join an organization. We are being joined to an organism in that respect. We are grafted into the body of Christ. A little spiritual surgery, someone said. So now if we take this a little bit further, there are lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of people on the rolls of churches all over the world. Okay? Their names are there, but many of them have no part in the body of Christ. Now, that probably seems like a hard or challenging thing to say, and in many respects it is. But the church roles are not what the New Testament is talking about when it talks about the church. Right? The Holy Spirit gives us the sense of being part of the church and being part of the body. It's not that our name is in the directory. It's that our name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And sadly, there are lots of folks whose names are on a church roll somewhere. And they think that that's good enough. But they have no part of the body of Christ. So we have membership here at Brownsville Community Church. We do. It's an important thing. It's important that we commit to a local expression of the body of Christ. Someone once described it this way. They said, God doesn't want spiritual hobos. Going from church to church to church to church to church to church, right? There are people who are wandering around looking for the perfect church. It doesn't exist. The Holy Spirit invites us in and grafts us into the body of Christ, warts and all. Every church has warts. Every church has challenges and difficulties and things that are not lined up with the way that the bride of Christ should be yet. So the Lord wants people to connect and to have roots. He wants people to be able to put roots down. It is His will that we be anchored to a body of believers, despite all of the warts. There's the story of this guy, this young man upstairs, his name's Johnny. Early in the morning, his mother calls him. Johnny, it's time to get up. Got to go to church. And he says, I don't want to get up. I don't want to go to church. And falls back asleep. A little bit later, his mom calls him and says, Johnny, you got to get up. You got to go to church. It's getting late. Breakfast is on the table. It's cold. Your eggs are congealed. Get up. And he's like, I don't want to go to church. I just want to stay here in bed. And so a little bit of time goes by. And mom calls him a third time. Johnny, get up. You got to be in church in 20 minutes. And Johnny calls down the stairs, I'm not going, I don't want to go to church. Give me one good reason why I should go to church. And so mom calls up the stairs and says something to the effect of, I'll give you a couple good reasons. One, people need you there, and two, you're the pastor of that church. And, you know, Johnny didn't want to go to church, thought the people didn't like him, they didn't want to connect. He's frustrated, whatever. This is not a parallel to me. I actually like coming here. I enjoy seeing all of you. But sometimes we fight with those things, and we think about the body of Christ and our brothers and sisters, and we say, God, why don't you conquer this family? I don't like those warts, you know. I've been here too long. I've seen it all. You know, yet the Lord calls us together and asks us to put roots down into Him. We're grafted in by the Spirit. We have all been made to drink of the Holy Spirit. And if we really belong to the Lord Jesus, the common denominator amongst all of us, even with all of our differences, is that we have received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, now, is to the church what breath is to our physical bodies. The words for the Holy Spirit in Hebrew and Greek are both translated the same ways, both breath and spirit. In Hebrew, it's ruach. What a wonderful word. Ruach. And in Greek, it's pneuma or pneuma. And both are translated breath and spirit. It's two meanings. It's breath and spirit. And so, you know, we began the service today with the collect for purity. Do you remember that thing? We pray it every week for a reason. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Inspire. Right? Inspire. Breathe in. Breathe in God's Spirit that we might be filled with his life. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts. Get rid of the sin. Get rid of the garbage. Get rid of the trash in our lives. Because when we bring our worship to him, it's just ashes. Without us being cleansed and filled by the Spirit. By the inspiration of your Holy Spirit. Why? That we may perfectly love you. That we may worthily magnify your holy name. If we want to bring worship to the Lord, if we want to bring anything that's worthy before the Lord, it's only because we have been cleansed and forgiven and are filled with his Spirit and can bring something back to him that's worthy that way. God breathes this new life into us that our worship might actually be pleasing to him. It is not possible for us to be in the flesh and offer praise to God. It's all ashes. It's only in the Spirit and by the Spirit that we can offer that to the Lord. So inspire, right? Inspiration to breathe in. Inspire. What's the opposite of inspire? Expire. Right. Dead. Breath leaves. Breathe its last. The difference between a live church and a dead church is measured by the presence or absence of the Holy Spirit. Right? So, a body can grow and it can mature, or it can wither and die. What happens when a church dies? The Spirit departs. You're left with dead bones, dry bones. Empty songs, dry prayers, dead preaching, people going through the motions. That's it. When the presence of the Holy Spirit is there, there is life. And without the Spirit, a church is dead. So there's all kinds of churches out there, right? There are churches that are alive and on fire. There are churches that have been dead and are living by their endowments because no one supports the church financially anymore. You know, there's a church locally here that has an endowment in the millions. There's six people on the rolls still. They stopped worshiping together years ago, but the church still exists as an entity. You know, sometimes churches hold on to their past and to their tradition that it actually closes their doors. Sometimes churches innovate so much that they change the word of God. And what they're preaching is no longer biblical Christianity. The Holy Spirit's not staying around for that either. And it closes their doors. Sometimes we can be so committed to traditions and the ways that things used to work, or the ways that we used to do things that are now not happening that way. And we could be so devoted to it that we're unable to see how the Spirit is leading and guiding in a new direction. One of my sort of spiritual fathers in the faith is Terry Fulham. When I was 10 years old, laid his hands on me and prayed for me. And this is when I was just starting to learn musical gifts and things like that. And he was a pastor down in Connecticut who they were experiencing a revival in their church and whatnot. And so I spent some time reading his books and listening to him and whatnot, and he's quite a preacher. And he describes that churches can have spiritual emphysema. You know, it's kind of a funny thing to think about in some respects. It's not dead yet, but it's in trouble because it's having trouble breathing in with the Holy Spirit of God. The lungs are still filling with something, right? But in emphysema, the lungs become leathery and they're unable to take in the air of life as efficiently as they could before, okay? And so how leathery and encrusted are the lungs of our church? How leathery are our personal lungs, spiritually, that make up the corporate body's lungs? I passed by a church a few weeks ago. I was driving somewhere or something, can't remember what it was. It was a little white church on a green someplace. But it wasn't a church anymore, it was a store. And out front was a sign that said, "Antiques sold here." And I was thinking, wonder what killed that church? Why did it go down the tubes? What caused them to stop breathing the Spirit of God? What made their lungs leathery and like emphysema? The body of Christ moves, it breathes, it flexes, it is led, it is guided, it is empowered by the Holy Spirit. Where the Spirit is not allowed free rein, the lungs are becoming leathery. So this passage has talked about Jesus. It's talked about the Spirit. Now what about us? What about ourselves? It continues on. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would make it not any less part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. So this is talking to that person that thinks, "I have nothing to offer to the church. My gifts aren't welcome, or they are so minuscule that, you know, I don't have the gift to play the guitar. I don't have the gift to preach. I don't have the gift to teach Sunday school," whatever these sort of more visible things are. So they think that they have no part in the body of Christ. What a sad thing. This is like a person who kind of puts themselves down and says, "There's nothing I can do. Nothing to offer. I'm just going to sit home. Or I'm just not going to go to church anymore because there's no place for me." God has given each one of us gifts, and they are all vital for the body to function. Every single one. If God has called you to be a part of this local expression of faith, then you, by His Spirit, have been given gifts that are necessary for this body to be healthy and to fulfill its call and function. And if you don't know what those gifts are, we need to work together to figure out what they are and to help them develop so that this body can do what it's supposed to do, worship the way that it's supposed to worship, and be the body, not only to one another, but to the community. This passage also addresses another kind of person in the churches, and this is the one who is absolutely assured of their place in the body of Christ and is pretty dang proud of it, too. All right, so this is the "I cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." Okay, so this is the Christian that says, "I'm good, I don't need any of you people, I don't need the body of Christ to follow Jesus." This is kind of like the solitary Christian who thinks that they don't need to be there. Back in the 1980s and 90s, the only requirement to to be a formal voting member of then the Episcopal Church was to take communion in church twice a year. Right? Why do we think the lungs got leathery and the church fell apart and died? There are a number of reasons, but one of them is that there was never a sense that you needed to be a part of the body to be a part of the body. Right? It's really an untruth to think that we can be a part of a church and never go and never worship and never participate in the life and ministry of the church. If someone is separated from the fellowship of the church, are they really a part of it? Goes back to what I was saying before about the roles of the church. I've been part of churches that took the very hard step to, quote, purge the roles. Look at who's actually worshiping and who's on the list and cross-examine that. Reach out to the folks that aren't there anymore. Try to bring them back in. See what's going on in their lives. Why are they drifting? How can we minister to you? How can we pray for you? But at some point, if someone is separated from the fellowship of the church, are they really a part of it? You can't be a member of a living body and not function. If we separate ourselves from the body of Christ, we wither and die. It's a life and death matter for us spiritually. When we separate, we start to dry up. God begins to recede into the background, and we find ourselves adrift, focusing on the cares and concerns that always commit tyranny in our hearts with our time. So the example that we follow as the church is to follow the example of Jesus, right? We chatted with the kids earlier. Happened to be just mine today, at least in person. To be servants of one another and to the world around us. So a few things for us to remember, hopefully. One is that the world judges Jesus by what they see of us. Right, wrong, or indifferent, that's the case. And it is because we are Christ's body, physically here on earth. We have the presence of Christ living within us by the Holy Spirit. We are inspired by life from the Holy Spirit and able to do what the Lord has asked us to do as his hands and his feet and his body in the world around us. We are all joined together, whether we like it or not, even with our differences and our warts, and we need each other, and we need the variety of gifts that we all bring. And that we are all called to serve the world and one another. If we serve, Christ is lifted up, and many will be drawn to him. Lord, we thank you for your presence with us. Forgive us for the ways that our lungs have become leathery. Forgive us for the things that we hold on to because we saw your spirit move perhaps in one way years ago and we think it's going to happen again in the exact same way. Lord, forgive us for holding on to empty prayers, formats of worship that are tired. Lord, forgive us for trying to create the space in which you will move. Instead, Lord, open our hearts to the freedom that is found in the breath of life of the Holy Spirit. Lord, free us to be able to hear what your Spirit is saying to us now, that with courage and faith and boldness and power, we would follow you wherever it is that you lead. Bring personal revival to our own hearts. Give us a hunger to read your word. Give us a desire to be holy and to get rid of all that stuff in our lives that is impure. Those things in our lives that dull us to the conviction of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help us to move forward with you in unity, in love, and in power. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thank you.